Thank you. Good morning. The flowers are given to the glory of God in the honor of Jane McIntyre, with wishes for a happy birthday and gratitude for all she does for St. Matthew's. And although Jane is very honored, she also would like to share these flowers with other February 28th birthday babies, Sarah Wagg and George Emmons. In the arrangement, the pussy willows symbolize God's grace, always with us as we continue on our Lenten journeys. Along the path, we find hydrangea, symbolizing devotion, carnations, and alstroemeria, representing love and friendship, and tea, spelled T-I, leaves, which are symbols of admiration, respect, and appreciation. Happy birthday, and thank you.
Good morning, church. If you want to join me in the green hymnal, worship and song, number 3002, Blessed Be Your Name.
Good morning. It's another great day. We are so glad you all gathered together in Jesus' name to worship God. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm so glad you are here with me. And I'm so glad all you are here in this virtual space, in this sanctuary, to worship God together. In a sanctuary, it literally means it's a safe place. Yes, we should feel safe in all the aspects. Because God is our sanctuary, our refuge. As we worship God this morning, we may feel God's presence with us. May God open our hearts and minds and soul. We may fully experience God's grace and God's love as we focus on God and refocus on God. Amen?
Amen.
Let us worship God together.
This is St. Teresa of Avila's bookmark prayer. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Amen.
Amen. Let us sing the first hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Let us sing it out and praise the Lord. It's page 361 in the United Methodist Church hymnal. Let us sing it.
I'm Carmen Logue, or Miss Carmen, for those of you who know me from Sunday school. And most Sundays, I get to be on the Zoom call with all the Sunday school kids before we break out into our different classrooms. And I teach the older grade school and middle school kids. And last week, Josh was talking to all of us about the beginning of Lent. And I think it was Tristan who said that Lent is kind of like Advent for Easter. And I thought that was kind of a good way to think about it. It's the Sundays that lead us up to Easter, and today is the second Sunday of Lent. And I brought something that I wanted to show you. And this is a Lego tower, and you can see it's made of lots of little Lego pieces. And it's supposed to look a little bit like Big Ben in London. Oh! Oh, my! Has that ever happened to you? You just got pieces left after something that was kind of perfect. Well, today's lesson in Psalm 22 is about a vision of a perfect world, and where everyone has enough food, everyone has a place to live, and everyone has enough love. And when we look at our world around us, it's not always like that, is it? And so I think there's a few things that we can do when things kind of don't match up to what we hope they'll be. So one of those things is to just tell the truth about it, to tell the truth about when things are not how they should be. The second thing we can do is pray together, and that's called a lament. And so if you're feeling sad or maybe disappointed that you dropped your Lego tower or there's something else like that, you can pray a lament to God. And when we pray together, we know that God is hearing us and hearing our lament. The third thing we can do is work together to make changes and make a difference. So, for example, next week is Food Sunday, so we can bring food for the food pantry so that we help make it so that there's less people who are hungry. And we can also, maybe what I could do is rebuild my tower. Because, you know, there were a few things that I didn't really like about that tower. And so now, maybe when I rebuild it, it'll be better. And that's what we hope for. So let's pray together. Dear God, teach us to lament when we see a difference between the way things are and the way we hope they will be. And thank you for this community and for all communities that pray and work together. Amen.
Beautiful. Scripture reading from the Old Testament,
2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 11 to 14. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die. And from Psalm 51, 1 to 11, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of guilt. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me.
Amen. I'm going to say a word and see if you can understand. Cheap. Did you get it? Cheap. C-H-E-A-P. That's what I meant, okay? I tried 1,000 times, but I don't think I'm doing good with it. So make sure that when I say cheap in today's the good news, I mean C-H-E-A-P. Not C-H-I-P, okay? Good? Good? All right, good. The other day, I checked the church website and got star words. I said words, the plural, because I did it more than one time. So what is yours? If you don't know about this, you know, you go to church website, and there is a section there, and you press a button there, then a word wheel pops up. And if you don't access the church website for whatever reason, then there are baskets in the hospitality area in the church, and you can pick one star there. So these are mine, consecrate. So I picked this one, consecrate. Good. As a pastor, yeah, I need to be consecrated, right? Then I tried again, and it said repentance. Whoa. Okay. So I pressed again and it says principle. Okay, one more time. Then love. For whatever reason, I strongly felt that God was trying to tell me something. So I started reflecting on them. I checked the Bible and read the passages about them. And I diligently meditated on them and I got a message. To be consecrated by God, I must repent. And repenting process takes the principles. I say, I'm sorry, God, this is what I have done, and I do it again. Then I say, I'm sorry, and I do it again, and again and again. No, it takes the principles to stay away from those patterns. Then why does God want me to seriously go through a repentance process with the principles? Because God loves me. Because God wants to heal my brokenness. Because God wants to make me a whole again. And God loves me, God doesn't just want me to feel better about what I have done. God wants me to change me. God wants to transform me and make me be more like Jesus, more and more. Repentance is not the end. It is the beginning of God's consecrating process. Repentance is not the end. It is the gate into God's transforming power and love. God loves me no matter what. I'm sure you are familiar with that phrase, that confession. God loves me no matter what. What does it mean to you when you do something wrong? Something unjust from God's eyes. Throughout the Bible, the Word of God tells us and keeps telling us that God embraces you as you are, but that's a half of God's love story for you. To complete the story, God wants you to learn, understand, and experience God's transforming power. God's forgiving love is not like a vending machine. You put some money in it, and you get what you want. You say, I'm sorry, God, and God says, it's okay, now you're good. Vending machines work like that. Vending machines work that way, but God doesn't. The Holy Bible tells us God's ultimate interest in us is our well-being. Our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. God is not interested in making you feel comfortable after you sin. God's interest is in transforming you, healing you of your brokenness, and making you whole again, and having you be like Jesus more and more. And it may take painful process to be on the journey of God's transforming power and love. Today's scripture reading from 2 Samuel is a part of God's accusation of God's sins through God's prophet Nathan. As you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible shows you what the King David has done against God. Verse 1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, but David remained in Jerusalem. Something unusual is going on here. Something smells fish. David noticed an attractive woman, Bathsheba, taking a bath. He sent his messengers and took her. When she came to him, he laid with her. Based on my research, a major number of biblical study theologians argue that it was power sexual assault based on huge power difference between the king and his subjects. Plus, in verse 27, God accuses only David, not Bathsheba. Quote unquote, the king that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. The King David made sexual assault. When Bathsheba informed the King David that she got pregnant, he incited his general to murder her husband. So God sent God's prophet Nathan. And Nathan told the King David this story. Hey King, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a lot of sheep and cattle, but the poor one had only one little female lamb. And she was like a daughter to the poor man. But one day, the rich one took the only thing the poor one had from him. After David listened to Nathan, verse 5, David burned with anger against the rich man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He seems to be capable and able to discern and judge what is just and what is unjust when the cases are about others. But when it comes down to the point, to his own case, he cannot see it as clear as others' cases. So verse 7, Nathan then said to David, you are the one. Busted. David Then he goes on, why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in God's sight? Then what happened? David admitted and repented what he had done. Verse 13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So King David didn't mock Nathan's accusation. He didn't deny what he had done either. In verse 13 and 14, then Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die. Here, I want to make sure we understand that. God doesn't just punish the baby for David's sins. With my research, and I believe, this means David had to lose what he had gained by his evil doing. You may remember the tax collector, Zacchaeus' story. When he repented, he said, I will pay back. If I cheated the people, then I'll pay back four times. I'll give away half of my possessions. That's what repentance means. It changes the pattern of the life. He had to lose what he gained by doing something evil. Like that, like in Zacchaeus' case, David had to lose what he had gained by his evil doing here. How about you? When you repent, do you expect God to let you keep all the old harmful and sinful patterns and make you feel just good and comfortable? No. Repentance is not the end. It is the beginning of the journey of experiencing God's transforming power and love. Repentance is a gate into God's transforming program. Look what David did after listening to God's prophet Nathan. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. David pleaded with God, and he fasted and went into his house and spent the night lying on the ground. Can you imagine the king lying on the ground? No. But he did. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground. But he refused, and he would not eat any food with them, fasting. David had to go through this process. God's correctional center, God's transforming program. God didn't just make him feel comfortable about what he had done. God's grace is not cheap grace. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer defines cheap grace as the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ. God's grace is not vending machine. Repentance is not the end. It is the beginning. It is the gate into God's transforming program. It is the beginning of the God changing direction program from the simple ways to God's ways. Listen what David had to say while he was repenting. Have mercy on me, God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Purify me from my sins. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me, God. He's crying out. Repentance is not the end. It is the beginning of the journey of experiencing God's transforming grace, transforming love and power. God is a God of grace who embraces you as you are and who has the power to transform you. God is able and willing to heal your brokenness. God is able and willing to forgive all your sins. My beloved siblings in Christ, what are you doing with this amazing grace of God? During this Lenten season, are you seeking for cheap grace? Or are you being brutally honest before God and pleading with God for God's transforming love and power? God loves you all. God bless you all. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and confess through this song, Nothing But the Blood, page 362. And for those who have been aware of this, you know, there are piles of hymns. We have three different kinds of hymns. Black ones and green ones. Blue ones and green ones and black ones. And in the hospitality area, you can sign them out if you would like to have the music for the service. It's a page 362 in the blue one, Nothing But the Blood.
Nothing but
The Lord be with you. This time, thank you. This time I would like to invite you to pray of repentance. As we gather around this table of grace, we would like to repent our sins as an individual and as a community and as a nation. Let us repent our sins. Let us take a moment of silence and let us be brutally honest before God and let us repent. And God may grant us courage to go deeper and deeper in God's reconciling and transforming program. Let us pray. Gracious God, have mercy on us. Mercy on our community. And mercy on our nation. And hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. On the night in which Jesus Christ gave up his life, himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to God and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When I lift the bread and I break the bread, you may do it at home too. And you may lift your cup. Then when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave to his disciples that, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now you may share your cup and bread. And now when you give bread, this is the body of Christ given for you. When you share a cup, say, "This is the blood of Christ given for you." And our siblings in the sanctuary, in this day place, as far as you feel safe, then please come forward and receive the cup and bread. As a people of God, we experience God's grace through the good news and the Holy Communion. Let us respond to God's grace together. Please join me in response to God's grace. God wants our love. It's all about our love for God. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. As you pray and prepare the offering with prayers, may God inspire you and fill your heart with the passion for God and compassion for God's people. And you may really want to be part of God's ministry in and through St. Matthew's. You may simply write a check and send it to the church, 435 Central Street, Acton, Massachusetts. Or you may check our church website, and you can see various ways you can be part of this wonderful ministry by sharing the financial gifts. It's time to pray together. That worst. Please pray for the politicians that will do what is best for our country and not for their political gain. This is my prayer. John Jones, special prayers for all the people that bring us this worship time. This is my prayer. Those who are, you know, you are on YouTube, you know, after I say, this is my prayer, you may say, this is our prayer too. Jim Kay, Diane and I would like to, healing prayers for our good friend, Sherry, who is dealing with COVID complications. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Judith Ann Kian, prayers for my cousin, Harriet, for continuing recovery. She is coming home tomorrow. Great. She is a leap year baby, but they celebrate her birthday on March 1st. Great birthday present to be home. This is my prayer. Susan LaSante, Lord, I give you thanks for the technology that allows us to worship together, and especially for Kevin Butler, who is directing the technology today. Lord, help us find others who would like to help. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Jennifer Zook, prayers for those navigating health concerns, even beyond the COVID, through this difficult time. May those in need not delay medical appointments and find a way to receive the necessary medical care. Prayers for those grieving the loss of loved ones during such difficult times of distance and isolation. May the love of God fill those in pain with comfort and strength to navigate the path forward. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
And I'd like to ask you to pray for one of our brothers in Christ, St. Matthews, who has been just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So please pray for him and his family. And also friend of mine also has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You know, he and I, we used to belong to same home group of Narcotics Anonymous, and I met him there, so we have been in friendship for 5 years now. And the other day, actually yesterday, I just heard that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. His name is Tyler, so please pray for him and his family as well. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Let us take a moment of silence and pray for this prayer request. And also, whoever comes into mind and heart this morning, let us pray for them, those who are in need of our prayers. Let us pray.
In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you all. Several announcements to share with you. Thank you all the worship leaders this morning, you know, who are with us in this safe place, sanctuary. And also thank you, the worship team prepares Holy Communion for us. During the Lenten season at St. Matthew's, we have the Holy Communion each and every day that we affirm God's grace for us. And also, you know, we have companions on this journey together. So each Sunday, please prepare the cup and bread at home so that we can share them together in spirit. And thank you all the guests, you know, this morning, this worship service, and I hope and it was an inspiring worship experience. After this service, we are having a virtual coffee hour. You can find that a Zoom link on the YouTube page and also on the church website. And no password is needed. And as Carmen briefly mentioned earlier during the children's message time, the first Sunday of each month with St. Matthew's, we have a food ministry Sunday. The first Sunday of each month is a food ministry Sunday. So during the week, you can bring the canned foods, you know, unperishable foods, and leave them in the cart in the hospitality area. Then we collect them together, and then next Sunday we bless them and share them with those who are in need. So I know one of the many ways we share our prayers in action. And from this Friday, from March 5th through March 26th, for 4 weeks, every Friday we are going to reflect on various topics related to Lenten, the meanings of Lent and Easter. So we have two groups, afternoon group, 4 p.m. through 5:15 p.m., and evening group, 7 p.m. through 8:15. And you need to sign up. You go to church website, and there is a section there, Sign Up Central, and then please sign up there. If we don't have enough number of people, then we may merge the two groups, but I hope that doesn't happen. So please make sure that you sign up there. We'll watch a very brief video clip, about 10-minute video clip. Rappel is a new master, his new series. And I've been in the schooling for, I think, over 20-something years. And Rappel is one of the people who articulates really great. I think he's one of the best. So we're going to watch this 10-minute video clip and discuss it at each session. So you can see that information on the church website and also weekly news as well. If you don't receive the prayer list and the weekly news, please call in the church office or send the email to office@saint-matthews.org. And ask our office administrator to put your name address on the list, so you will receive the prayer list, the request list, and also weekly news each and every week. My beloved siblings in Christ,
It may be a painful process being in God's transforming program. But we have hope because God has power and love. God is able and willing to heal our brokenness and transform us and make us feel like Jesus more and more each and every day. Let us do it together. So this week, let us continue to be brutally honest before God and repent all our sins before God. And let us walk this journey together with the hope and trust in the Lord, the God of grace. Now go in peace and with assurance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bless each other through this song, the blessing song together.